The sun was just rising when the Qatar Airways flight from Islamabad landed at the Doha airport. It was 6:03 a.m. The plane had taken off from Pakistan a little more than 3.5 hours earlier. There were now 4 flights a week on a brand new Airbus between the capitals of Pakistan and Qatar. This was a big improvement over Pakistan International Airlines' old puddle jumpers and their haphazard schedules. As a result, the plane was full of Pakistanis, rich businessmen and poor job seekers. The Qatari rarely travel to Pakistan. With only 250,000 native-born citizens, Qatar focused on exploiting its gas reserves and the 1.5 million Pakistanis, Indians, Filipinos and Bengalis who did the work that kept the country running. One of the first passengers to reach the immigration counter was a young man with a neatly trimmed beard, wearing an ill-fitting suit, no tie, and a brown coat. He was tall and thin, with a shock of black hair, a prominent nose, high cheekbones, and a sharp, heavy-lidded gaze. The Pakistani passport he handed the Qatari immigration officer was in the name of Gulbuddin Askari, businessman from Quetta in Baluchistan.
"Where are you staying, sir?" asked the officer.
"At the Four Seasons," the traveller answered in excellent Arabic. A rich businessman, then. Located on the Corniche along West Bay, the Four Seasons was the best hotel on the peninsula. The immigration agent smartly stamped Askari's passport. Wealth was appreciated in Qatar. Besides, the black crocodile leather attaché case the Pakistani was carrying showed definite class. Pulling a small roller suitcase, the man calling himself Gulbuddin Askari made for the taxi stand, yawning widely. He was short of sleep. He'd come from Quetta the evening before and slept only 3 hours in a small hotel near the Islamabad airport before getting up at 1:30 in the morning for his flight. He barely noticed downtown Doha's skyscrapers glittering in the morning sun. At the Four Seasons, Askari was grateful to reach his room. The first thing he did was to unfold a small prayer rug, face Mecca, and spend a long time praying. Then he got undressed, took a shower, and stretched out on the bed. His meeting wasn't until that evening, but it was essential that he be clear-headed. His soul at peace after a fervent prayer, he quickly fell asleep. The fuselage of the private Grumman jet bore no markings beyond brown and root ink in small blue letters above the air stairs. The plane landed at Doha Airport at 5:45 p.m., 20 minutes ahead of the flight plan given to the Qatari authorities, a business flight from Dallas, with a refueling stop in Madrid. Besides the crew, there were 2 men on board. On landing, they handed the immigration service American passports in the names of Carl Gorman and James Ganlento. A pair of ordinary businessmen, a little weary after their 7,000-mile trip. Less than an hour later, they were settling into their rooms at the Four Seasons. At 7:30 p.m, Askari appeared at the entrance of the bar and was immediately spotted by the 2 Americans. The white-haired man, calling himself Ganlento, stood and approached him. The men exchanged a long handshake. They had already met 3 times before, and they liked each other.
"I've reserved a private dining room in the Fortuna," said Ganlento. "Shall we go there, or would you like to have a drink here first?"
"Let's go to the restaurant," said Askari. He didn't drink alcohol, and was uncomfortable in public spaces with scantily dressed foreign women. The men headed for the Italian restaurant, the pride of the Four Seasons. Their table was already set, with wine, mineral water, and fruit juices. Before sitting down, Ganlento turned to his companion.
"Carl, I'd like you to meet Mullah Abdul Ghani Barada. He's a member of the Shura in Quetta, and has Mullah Omar's full trust."
He then turned to the young Pakistani.
"Mullah Barada, this is Carl. I'm not authorized to reveal his identity, but I can say that he has come from Washington especially to meet you. He's very close to the president and is here on his behalf.
The two men shook hands. The white-haired man, who was actually Clayton Luger, the CIA deputy director in charge of clandestine operations, gestured toward the dining table. The men sat down and helped themselves to drinks. Luger had asked the restaurant that they not be disturbed and had a silent buzzer under the table to summon the waiter.